Wisconsin is going back to work.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye summary of this week in the Capitol. J.R., I've been looking forward to us going down some of these primary races, mm-hmm. but before we do that, right now there's about 12, 15, 18 Capitol reporters going through reams of documents, the latest document dump on John Doe. You expect anything major?
Well, this dump does not include any emails. It's all stuff that's like Word documents, spreadsheets, so the value is debatable right now. We haven't got a chance to get through 14 gigabytes of information yet. It'll take a while.
Yes.
But if there are any bombshells, you'd think it'd be more in the emails than they would be this. Now, that's not having seen anything yet, but right now I'm not expecting today to be the real show of the John Doe dump.
But boy, is that labor intensive.
Yes.
Yes. And one more footnote. The last Charles Franklin poll, what percentage of people think that it's just politics? Shrug.
Well, three-fourths of people had heard about it, and of those, that segment, like about half, 40%
yes.
thought it was more
shrug
politics.
It off as yeah. just politics. Okay, I've been looking forward to this. Let's handicap some of the major primary races next Tuesday, August 12th. Attorney General Democrats, Ishmael Ozan, Susan Happ, and John Richards, State Representative John Richards. What's your take, JR?
When I talk to people, they tell me that one thing they agree on is that Ozan is not really doing anything. His campaign has not done very well, not raised money, been disorganized. You add it all up and he's not really in a great position. So it's about Susan Happ and John Richards. Now, Democrats will tell you that John Richards has run more of the kind of boots on the ground, pound the pavement, primary type campaign going around the state for a long time now, mm-hmm. trying to reach out to people. Happ kind of got in the spring. A little bit later start, but she's come on strong. She's had Emily's List backing. But one thing to note, there's no independent expenditures that we've seen, or like any big independent expenditures. No big TV ads, no big radio. So it's incumbent on those two people to drive turnout on Tuesday. Well, who can do that? You know, that's the big question. I've been told for a long time that whoever the best and most effective TV ad last week would probably win. So whose ad do you like better? Tough
well,
to say.
What do you think of that motorcycle? Happ rolls up on a motorcycle, takes it off. Then you, I'm tough.
Yeah.
I've been a prosecutor.
Interesting.
She's starting her ads late, mm-hmm. and she's the freshest face in this race.
She's also appealing very much to women in that ad. Talks
yeah.
about how I'll protect women. So, you know, there's a theory that in Democratic primaries, if you have a multiple candidate primary and you have a woman in there, she sometimes has an advantage. But, you know, that's tough to say.
Richards, obviously, coming out of Milwaukee, he's got the biggest base. Is that going to be worth much on an August 12th midsummer primary?
Yes, if they know him, and that's the question. I mean, even though John Richards has been there for two decades as a state lawmaker, how many people in Milwaukee County will say that John Richards is a household name? You know, that's true for any assembly member, you know, so that it's tough to say. But you would think that Milwaukee will be his base. Big question about Ozan is, okay, he hasn't done very well, but Dane County is a big Democratic-rich voter population. Will he do so poorly that Susan Happ can reach over and grab a bunch of votes from Dane County and do well?
Yeah.
Or does Ozan grab enough votes in Dane County because they know him from the Act 10 fight that he kind of hurts Happ in a way and allows Richard to do better?
Great. Okay, well, we spent much too much time on that one, so we got to go quicker. First District Congress Dems, Amar Kalika, whose father was killed almost mm-hmm. 2 years ago, tragically, in the attack on the Sikh temple, and Rob Zurbin. Jack?
Most folks think that Zurbin's the one. He's raised money. He's doing things. He ran last
time. What
about
this compelling narrative? My dad was killed, and I want I go to Washington, and I haven't found any effective. So, but
he has made a lot of flaky statements in the past as well, been tied to some conspiracy theorists, and he hasn't raised a whole lot of money. He's not very well known. So.
Okay. All right. We got rid of that one pretty quick. Fourth District Dems, what a fascinating race. Former state senator, former joint finance chairman, convicted felon, Gary George, doesn't live in the district. And Gwen Moore.
Gwen Moore is not known as a prolific fundraiser, so you would think there'd be an opportunity there. But Gary George is even filing campaign fundraising reports. I mean, he's not raising enough money, you'd assume, to have to file a report, but he won't tell us because he's not really answering questions.
And his ads are on YouTube.
Yes.
And he called up Charlie Sykes today and said, can I appear on your show? So is this the mark of a desperate raise?
Yes. So people keep wondering, why did he run? I've heard all kinds of theories from he wanted to kind of help rebuild his image, to he wanted to kind of boost business for his law firm. But nobody knows for sure why Gary George is running for Congress, because he's not really done something that you would need to do. Like, he got in this spring, he got in late at the filing deadline. He hasn't built an organization, not on TV, not raising money. I mean, what's the foundation? Nobody knows for sure. But then
is
again,
it really
it's Gary
a campaign?
George.
Yeah, it's Gary George. Sixth District Congressional Republicans, Tom Petri says, having served this seat since 1979, I'm out of here. He makes that announcement after Senator Grothman announces. Yeah. Then you get a four-way. Senator Grothman, Representative Dewey Strobel, Senator Joe Leibom, and former Tech College industrial teacher Tom
Danow.
Danow.
Yep. Take Danow off the map.
He has no money.
Yeah.
Did he not even raise enough to have to file campaign finance?
I don't think so.
Okay, but let's talk about the big three.
Money-wise, it's been all Dewey. But that's because it's been Dewey's personal wealth. It's helped him. He put almost $700,000 of own money in by the end of July. The problem for Dewey has been that he's been on the attack constantly.
Yes, he has.
And it seems like he's backfired a bit. People think he's now maybe even in third place, despite all the money he's spent, because he's just not gained traction. It's all been attack. Now, granted, he's always talking about being a business person, I'm an outsider, and that's an attractive message, but I think the attacks, that's really kind of not really caught up well with people. And Talk Radio Milwaukee really took him to task for that for a while. So that's where he's at. Leibom seemed to have the geographical advantage because he's from the bigger part of the district,
Sheboygan.
Dewey and Glenn are from the southeastern part of it, Ozaukee County, that area. So you think they would split the vote down there. Problem is, Joe Leibom has a really nice guy image, if you will.
Yes, he does.
Doesn't like going after people. And in a congressional campaign, you kind of have to do that. So it's been Glenn being more aggressive, Dewey going after both of them, and Joe kind of not really engaging on that front. So he may still win, but it won't be because he's surging at the end. Glenn Grothman seems to have all the momentum, which is interesting because 3 months ago, this guy, he'll never raise any money. He's never going to be able to do anything. I think he's got a real shot to win.
But you don't subscribe to the yard sign theory, do you? Because Wissai was up there last week, and Leibom's got him got Grothman 3-1, 4-1 on yard signs. But you don't subscribe.
Somebody told me in 2006 the Doyle Green race. God, Doyle's got no yard signs up, and somebody said, "Well, yard signs don't vote."
And we didn't see any Dewey Strobel because he's concentrated on the ads paid, which he paid for himself. 17th State Senate Dems. This intrigues me. You have Ernie Whitwer, mm-hmm. the old-time candidate, former State Department of Transportation yep. budget director. He announces first, and then comes the Chris Larsons and maybe the Mike Tates say, "Ernie, God love you, but we don't think you can win." So they come out with, and they find and draft Pat Bomhack. He's out of Waukesha, captain of the Stanford volleyball team.
Mm-hmm.
Former Feingold aide, thank you. What?
Pat Bomhack ran for assembly 2 years ago, did a pretty poor job of it, didn't win that race. They thought he'd be a better fundraiser than Ernie. The problem is, since he got in, he hasn't. This is a seat that Democrats should hold. At top of the ticket, it is a very strong Democratic lean, but it has a history of voting for Democrats at the top, Republicans at the bottom. Howard Markland, Republican, is way more conservative than this district is as a whole. Mm-hmm. Dale Schultz, who's had it for a long time, not real close with Howard Markland right now. They've got their differences. But Democrats can't seem to get together down there. And what's more interesting is it's like a family feud. Larson has been unabashed at supporting Bomhack.
Absolutely.
Kathleen Vinehout has said, no, we're Western Wisconsin Dems. We want to take care of our own business. The voters should decide. I'm backing Ernie Whitwer. So you've got that schism going on down there. And all the while, they're kind of forming this chance to win that seat.
And you also have on Tuesday very hotly contested races for sheriffs. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to have some Democrats march off to cast ballots in the GOP races for sheriff. Could be a low turnout.
Oh.
If Bomhack targets key, this is a fascinating one.
All the while, Howard Markline's got $300,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, that's...
I think it's 304. 21st Senate Republicans, Van Wongard, ousted in a recall in 2012. His ads, heard one today, radio ads, I'm Van, I'm ready to get back to work.
Yeah.
But Stites now has drawn more support than ever from the traditional Tea Party. How close is this going to be?
It's kind of establishment versus far right wing people. And why I say this is because Van would be more trouble if he didn't have the backing of the Racine County Tea Party group down there. They've really gone to the wall for him, had a big rally on Saturday, got the vote thing, featured Van. Didn't have Jonathan speak. They're endorsing Van. That's helping him. But very much, Jonathan Stites is trying to out-conservative Van Wongard. And mm-hmm. he is staking out some positions that at times have gotten him some gruff about nullification, these kinds of things. But what he's banking on is that the people who are in that kind of core he's targeting, they will vote no matter what on Tuesday. They are hardcore. They will come out no matter what for this primary. Whereas Van's got more establishment than Republicans who they'd be more casual voters who may not show up because they're not that passionate about it. Now, Wongard's people tell you that when they do doors, that it is overwhelming for Van, and people are like, look, you lost your job in 2012 because you took one on the chin for voting for collective bargaining for Governor Walker.
Yeah.
You got screwed, essentially. We're going to be there for you on Tuesday.
Right.
Will they be there? That's the big question.
It's
if they are, he should win.
Van is like Linda. You remember when LBJ lifted his shirt and showed you his scars? He's kind of like that, showing you his political scars. To replace the State Representative Sandy Pasch in the 10th Assembly District, you have four Ds. Got any insight on that one?
Interesting that 2 years ago, Sandy Pasch was in that district to run, had been an African-American representative before that. A large African-American population there.
Yep.
There's a lot of racial kind of undertones in that race.
That it should be represented by an African-American.
Sandy Pasch is retiring. Bowen's got a lot of support.
Yeah.
And I think Sandy Pasch has endorsed him. Kind of a wide open race. It's hard to know because in that district, I think it's got a decent African-American population. I think even a majority. But the Shorewood area, the Caucasian part of the district, turns out in higher percentages for the primary. So how does that play? It's tough to say in a four-way race.
That's fascinating. The 19th Assembly District to replace Richards. The name brand Democrat here is Marina Dmitrievich.
Yes.
Is it hers to lose? That's what I'm told.
Yes and no. That's been the theory that I've heard a lot. But if you look at the candidates, it's interesting. Brostoff is running as the Upper East Side, like traditional liberal, like John Richards, the guy who's held the seat. Adams is portraying himself as a more moderate Democrat. Kind of, he has the backing of Chris Abley, for example. Marina is the Bayview neighborhood. If you know that district, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But
yep.
Marina's that's part of her county board seat. That should give her an edge, but nobody's blowing anybody's doors off money-wise. There isn't a lot of heavy traffic. Now, Jeanan, who people haven't really given much of a shot, she now has a $40,000 cable buy from United Steelworkers, I think. They're packed. I would give Marina an edge, but don't count out Brostoff or Adams. They all three really have a good shot at that seat.
Okay, and JR, as we look at the next one, 97th Assembly District Republicans to replace the disgraced Representative Bill Kramer. You have six people running. I don't, Wisconsin, I wasn't able to interview all of them, so I'm going to say, I'm plead ignorance. What's your feeling?
The two that I hear most about are Allen, the realtor, and Rosner, who used to run John Gard's campaign for Congress. He also has worked for Governor Walker. Allen, realtors like their own in the legislature. They pick out a $40,000 or so radio ad buy for Allen. That's a boost. Rosner's up on the radio. He also had something from like the Concerned Physicians for Responsible Government.
Yeah,
they
heard
did an
that.
Ad for him.
Right.
It's all about those two right now. Interesting side note, Rosner criticized Allen for doing a fundraiser with Sheriff David Clark, who is a Democrat in name only. That got him some blowback on talk radio. It's a wide open race, but those two are probably the ones who are favored right now to come out of that.
And just real quickly, what's your gut tell you on David Clark and Milwaukee Police Lieutenant Chris Mays?
Clark is more than $500,000 in TV against him right now, TV and radio. From
TV against him.
Greater Wisconsin and now Mayor Bloomberg's PAC.
Yes.
That is tough. Clark's best hope is Republicans cross over vote in that primary. They don't care about the Secretary of State or Treasurer's race. Go cross over and vote, and talk radio gins up the suburbs where Clark has his most support, and that carries him across. But it was a tough race in 2010. He's got a tough road ahead of him on Tuesday.
Okay. When WisPolitics polled at the state Democratic Convention, Representative Halsey versus Burke, Halsey got what?
Three votes? Four votes? Something
okay.
like that.
So it was
overwhelmingly for Mary Burke.
Which leads me to my next question, prediction. What percentage of the vote in the Democratic primary for governor does Representative Halsey get?
Good question. Walker Newman was 60-40, but Newman spent several million hundreds of thousands, not millions of dollars in that primary. Halsey spent, what, tens of thousands, 10,000? If it's more than 40%, I'd be stunned. But where's the floor for him? I mean, he in the Marquette poll, he was, what, 3%?
He was 3%.
66-3?
Which is why I like him at maybe under 10.
Maybe. You know, but nobody knows who he is.
Right. Hey, I want to ask you about one more thing before we do the stock rising. Former Assembly Speaker Mike Sheridan, mm-hmm. one of three Democrats in the 15th to replace Senator Tim Cullen. Representative Fred Kessler of Milwaukee organized a group and billboards against Sheridan. How well do you think the former Speaker will do Tuesday in the 15th Senate?
Good question. Janice Ringhan, the state lawmaker from Evansville, she's the favorite when I talk to most people. Some folks think that Sheridan's going to finish third, to be honest, because he got so much baggage from 2010 when he lost that Assembly seat in a Republican wave. Living outside the district while having a relationship with a payday loan industry lobbyist, after passing a bill that critics tell you he watered down. Now, Sheridan will say, I had the best bill through that I could at the time. But you look at what's going on, I mean, there's a real animosity from some Democrats. Now, Kessler, they have some personal history there. He lost his speakership to Sheridan, all that kind of stuff. Jim Cruiser, however, former Assembly Minority Leader, wrote a very nasty letter to the editor a few weeks ago, taking Sheridan to task. I mean, there's one, this animosity, and two, a great fear. If Sheridan wins that primary, he's the one candidate that would make that race competitive. It's a heavily Democratic seat.
It is.
But his baggage is so great, they fear that you could actually have a real race on your hands down there.
Fascinating. Quickly, because time is getting away, West Politics stock report rising.
Domestic Partners, they don't have full marriage equality. They are hoping for it from the federal courts. But for now, they got some protection from the state Supreme Court last week with that ruling on the registry, which they upheld, and so did not violate state constitutional amendment passed in 2006.
Thank you. Mixed.
Glenn Grothman, again, he's surging, but will he get across the finish line first? As somebody told me, if Lipom wins, we'll be walking backward across the finish line. Does not have the momentum right now. But, you know, Glenn's right there. This guy was supposed to be a nothing candidate 3 months ago. Oh, you know, kind of odd Glenn. He won't raise any money, but he is a real threat. And look at the debate last night. Both Lipom and Strobel focus their attention on Glenn. That tells you something about what's happening right now.
And then falling.
Public employees, the Act 10 decision last week is probably the final word, legally speaking, on Act 10. It is law, will remain law, unless it's repealed someday by somebody. The last unions they have contracts are what? Madison teachers, Milwaukee City employees, Dane County employees. The Madison City employees contracts end in December, I think, the 31st. The ones for the teachers and the Dane County employees last till 2016, but don't be surprised if there's a lawsuit from somebody like the Will organization challenging those contracts now, saying, look, it's not kosher anymore.
Fine. Great show. And guess what we're going to be talking about next week? The primary results. And was there indeed nothing major in these document dump on John Doe? That's Rewind. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.